This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Saltro Fungicide Seed Treatment from Syngenta for consistently superior sudden death syndrome protection without the stress.
Equities are making new highs as the world seems to be much calmer after President Trump addressed the nation. Crude is sharply lower. You know, I just can't wait to hear what Bubba's got to say about all of this.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Steve Freed from ADM Investor Services. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis, thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Yes.
Man, talk about a lot going on. And basically, the thing that President Trump said in his address to the nation about Iran that got the markets all fired up again was that it appears that Iran is standing down. We now have the before he started. Remember this morning when we were on the air, we were kind of putting some stakes in the ground to see how the markets would react to his comments. The Dow was trading like 80, 85 points higher, something like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Just as President Trump was getting ready to speak. We are now 249.35 points higher in the Dow.
Oof.
Yeah. The S&P 500 has made a new all-time high. Crude oil, the last I looked, was off $3.
Yep.
We've got that February contract back under $60.
Yup. Let's talk heating oil, too, if we're in there. Down 7 cents on the day, $1.96. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
It really is. I mean, just a fascinating day. Fascinating day. Corn, fractionally mixed again, I guess we'd call it. Soybeans, just slightly higher. Meal worked to the upside with bean oil a little lower. Wheat came back from some early losses and put in a pretty good close. Slightly to moderately higher market there in winter wheat futures. Live cattle were mixed, but again, off lows. The pressure was on the nearby contracts. Feeder cattle, solid gains there. And lean hogs, steady to slightly lower. That market is caught between optimism and reality, and I don't think it knows what to do right now, to be real honest with you. So let's go ahead and get into it. What was moving the markets?
Well, Chip, wheat futures recovered from early losses, as you said, to close with modest gains. Wheat futures appeared to recover along with strength in equities and weakness in crude oil futures following President Trump's comments to the nation regarding tensions with Iran. Traders may also be moving to the sidelines ahead of Friday's supply and demand and winter wheat seedings report from USDA. March hard red futures were a nickel higher, 480 even. March soft red futures firmed 2.5 cents to 552.75. March spring wheat was up a penny at 547.75, Chip.
Yeah, not much change expected in the wheat supply and demand balance sheet. Winter wheat seedings expected to be off about 400,000 or 500,000 acres from a year ago.
Corn traders generally anticipate USDA to deliver a smaller 2019 corn crop estimate in Friday's annual production summary, but many are also concerned corn usage estimates could be cut to offset the smaller supply. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly where we're going to start in the conversation with Steve Freed, is that corn balance sheet. Yep.
Ethanol production in the weekend of January 3 averaged 1.062 million barrels per day, down 4,000 barrels from the previous week, but 62,000 barrels above the same week last year. Ethanol stocks jumped 1.428 million barrels, but are still 790,000 barrels below the same time last year.
You know, hold on real quick. Those numbers sound real familiar to me.
Basically,
those are the numbers that Jordan Fife from BioErgia gave us on Monday in the morning show.
Yeah.
He did a real nice job anticipating this report.
Yep. In today's trade, March corn futures were a quarter of a cent lower, 384.5. July corn unchanged, 397.75. December 2020 corn closed at $4.75. That's up 3/4 today.
Yeah, good that we still got that $3 handle there on D's corn. $4 handle on D's corn.
CONAB now puts the Brazilian bean crop at 122.2 million metric tons, up 1.133 million metric tons from its previous estimate, but it's still below USDA's latest estimate of 123 million metric tons. Still, bean prices work to the upside on optimism surrounding the upcoming signing of Phase 1 of the trade agreement with China. Traders are also looking for the supply side of the soybean balance sheet to tighten in Friday's annual production summary. March bean futures were 3.25 cents higher, 947.25. July beans firmed 2.75 cents to 972.25. November 2020 beans closed at 975.5, up 2 cents on the day. Chip.
We'll get to that balance sheet on soybeans with Steve as well.
Right on. On the livestock side, after posting an inside trading day yesterday, February live cattle futures followed with another inside day on the daily chart. That's a strong signal of more consolidation for cattle futures until they get direction from the cash market. February cattle futures were 17.5 cents lower at 126.35. April cattle futures off 32.5, 127.05. March feeders jumped a buck 40 to 146.52.5. And finally, on the snout side, while hog traders remain optimistic about export demand for pork, bigger than expected hog slaughter so far this week limited buying interest. February hogs were 20 cents lower at 69.02.5, and April hogs unchanged, 75.75. Chip.
Yeah, there's that caught between optimism and reality. When
right?
you've got hog slaughter running as hot as it is right now, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard to generate a bunch of upside momentum in that. In that hog market. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, how you doing? Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. It's been so long since I've been here. Yeah. I forgot what was going on. What's up, man?
Well, I'm just curious. What do you make of all that has happened since we took out the Iranian general?
Well, you look, I mean, it exactly what I expected to happen. You get my text every day. Yep. I had this thing nailed. Perfectly. And, of course, I think gold and oil have put their tops in now for quite a while. So that's good. I think grains are going to now come out of this much stronger. I mean, they were only caught up in the crossfire, not necessarily in what was actually going on in those markets. And I think we're in pretty good shape. You know, again, I think things look really solid. And, of course, these equities will go up until they don't. You know, at some point, they'll find a reason to go. To this point, they have not found that reason. Which is why the Dow is going to end up making all-time new highs today as well.
Yeah, yeah. Your reasoning there, Bubba, makes all the sense in the world to me when you say that these equities are going to go up until they don't. But explain that to people. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, look, I really believe the next real big move will be down. But mm-hmm. right now, there's no place to put your money. The Fed is still keeping money cheap, and investors are chasing up the market. So, you know, we go up slowly. I mean, today was obviously a big move, but you know, you had that big overnight sell-off that created this. But generally, we've been going up very slowly with extremely light volatility, extremely light volume. And all that is the fear of missing out of people continuing to buy because they don't want to miss this move. And as the last person finally gets in, that'll be about the time it'll be ready. And then there'll be some sort of black swan event that is really a black swan,
yep.
not the killing of Soleimani, and then the markets will collapse. And, of course, we'll go through the same cycle we've gone through, you know, 100 times before. But you have to remember, for 150 years, the equity markets have averaged an 8.5% gain year over year. They don't go up every year, but the average gain, if you stayed in for 150 years, is 8.5% a year. And that's all you can base on, and that's what
exactly.
I base on.
Exactly. Bubba, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Happy New Year, guys. Hey, Davis, what's up, brother?
Hey, buddy.
That's Todd Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. We got Steve Reed up next on AgriTalk. As 2020 kicks off, soybean growers may be thinking about getting their crops off to the strongest start possible. This means defending their soybeans against yield-robbing pests and early season stress, as well as setting up for success later in the season. Today, we're continuing the conversation with Dale Ireland, Syngenta Seed Care Technical Product Lead, about defending soybeans against sudden death syndrome and soybean cyst nematodes.
Well, that's really a hand-in-glove relationship. Normally, when you have your worst sudden death syndrome, there is a nematode involved. And across the U.S. Midwest, the soybean belt, that's generally the soybean cyst nematode for a couple reasons. One is when those early nematodes attacks on the roots are occurring, they're opening up that root system that potentially could be infected by the fusarium that causes sudden death syndrome. There's also the plant parasitic side, that where you have a plant parasite parasitizing that plant, stressing it, and it makes it more susceptible to sudden death. So usually when you have the worst SDS, you have a nematode also involved.
Syngenta recently received registration for Sultro fungicide seed treatment, which has SDS protection and nematode activity. What can growers expect from Sultro in 2020?
You can expect a statistically significant 3-bushel advantage under heavy SDS and a 1.8 bushel advantage over the leading competitor under just a broad acre situation. And without the stress and with better protection against nematodes as well as sudden death syndrome.
That was Dale Ireland, Syngenta Seed Care Technical Product Lead. Thanks so much, Dale. For more information on Sultro and superior SDS protection without the stress, visit SyngentaUS.com/Sultro.
Just like the weather, crop insurance keeps changing. And that's why Farm Credit Services of America employs full-time crop insurance officers who understand those changes, deliver the best options to your farm, and the coverage you expect. The weather can be surprising. Your crop insurance shouldn't be. Discover the difference with a no-cost, no-obligation crop insurance plan review from Farm Credit Services of America. Learn more by calling 800-884-FARM.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Say, Chip.
Well, yes, Davis.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I feel like you were about to say that.
That's okay.
You know, it's January 8th.
Yes.
Birthday of David Bowie.
Yeah.
Elvis Presley.
Okay.
My dear father, Ron Michelson.
Really?
And as we learned last year, our very own friend, Liz Brown. You remember Liz Brown?
Yes.
It's her birthday. And in fact, last year we got a phone call. I've got my eye on the phone lines. So far, nothing yet.
Right.
Nothing yet. Right. But happy birthday, Liz Brown.
Yes.
Also my dad.
to your dad. Exactly.
Him too.
Welcome back. Glad that you could join us today. We've got a great conversation lined up. We're going to get right to it. We've got Steve Freed. Steve is the VP of Grain Research at ADM Investor Services, longtime friend of mine. Steve, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Good, good. It's good to survive 2019.
Crazy year, wasn't it, man?
I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. I mean, I think when we started out, we assumed we were going to have normal weather, lower prices, deal with the trade war and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, we couldn't get anything planted. On our farm in central Illinois, we usually plant corn by middle of April, and we got it in June 3rd. And there was just all kinds of ideas of what the yields are going to be. And, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't as bad as we had feared, but it was still just a crazy year.
Yeah. Well, it certainly wasn't a record yield, though, on that June 3rd planted corn. But like you said, I think the world bored with their move early in the year to take it from 176 trend line down to a 166 projected yield on the supply and demand. It kind of sent a message from the world board that, hey, this crop stinks and it's only going to get worse. And then NASS couldn't find the evidence that it was getting worse.
No, and I think interviewing with the head of NASS recently, he said that they feel comfortable with the acres, and I'm sure that a lot of farmers think that because of prevent plant, the acres should come down. And they said that they had pretty much the objective yield data for the November report, so they don't expect a lot of changes in January based on that data. So the only thing that's going to change in Friday's production numbers is the 80,000 farmer survey, and they're not expecting much. And then on the other side, WASDE's already said they're not going to increase U.S. exports because of a trade deal. And so you just don't see a lot happening on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like it's a report day that has been anticipated for going on 2 months. And at the same time, because of everything that is happening out there, it's almost like all of a sudden, it feels like the World Board is going to punt on some things. The survey work that you were talking about, we talked to Lance on the show about it on Tuesday. Yeah, just yesterday. And the survey work is going to, obviously, it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, but the survey work is going to dominate that annual production summary in the quarterly grain stocks report, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of the interesting thing about it, because the data as far as crop production doesn't change that much, but the last December 1 corn stocks number was a surprise on the downside. So, you know, when you get corn stocks, there's not a lot of objectivity to it. It's just this is what's on farm and this is what's off farm. So it'll be interesting to see if there's any difference between the December 1 corn stocks and the production numbers.
Right. Right, exactly. They're going to have to make everything line up. But that DS1 corn stocks made it look like they overestimated the 2018 corn crop, right?
Yeah, and I think that, again, you know, if you survey farmers, they're going to tell you that the crop just wasn't there. The beans did better than they thought, but that the corn crop isn't quite there. It's just the problem is that, you know, whether it's 11.5 billion bushels, DS1 stocks, or 11.4, whatever, there's still a lot of corn that the farmer has to sell.
Yep, yep. And they've got a lot of room to store that crop, don't they?
Yeah, we've been kind of watching USDA data, and on-farm and off-farm storage hit a low in 1997 at about 19 billion bushels, 11 that was on farm and 8 that was off farm. Now we're up to 25 billion bushels, and you've got 33.5 that's on farm and 11.5 that's off farm. So, I mean, consistently since 1997, we've built storage in this country.
Mm-hmm. Does that increase in storage, does that answer some of the question about, geez, how is this basis on corn been trading as strong as it is?
I think that's part of it. I mean, we continue during that time frame also to lose export share. And the corn contract is export sensitive. And so if you're losing export share, there really isn't that push at the Gulf to push prices higher. And so what's left, especially like from a ethanol plant standpoint, to, you know, they have to have the bases strong to try to move corn into the pipeline.
Interesting. Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me because that the futures contract is so export sensitive. Speaking of export sensitive, the balance sheet, the S&D table for corn is going to be export sensitive. USDA is at 1.85 billion bushels in the December S&D, and ending, which gave us an ending stocks number of 1.91. So the consensus is that we're going to see a smaller supply because of a smaller corn crop estimate. But the worry is that we offset it with lower usage estimates too. Is the trade looking at the corn market right, or the balance sheet right there?
You know, I think that there, you could ask 10 people what they think the corn S&D is going to be like, and you'll get 10 different answers. Yeah. I think the ones that the funds trade would say, okay, we lost 100 million bushels of corn. Maybe feed and residual is understated by the USDA, but maybe ethanol is overstated by a little bit, and exports could be as much as 130 million bushels lower than the USDA's number. So you still come out with a 1.9 carryout, even though your crop is 100 million bushels smaller.
Okay. All right. Is there any sign out there, Steve, that this export picture on corn is going to improve?
No. I mean, you know, we're still hearing that South America, Ukraine is going to have big crops of corn to compete against U.S. exports in the last half of the season. The only thing that really would kind of save us is if, you know, when China signs the deal, they just start coming in and buying corn, or they can buy ethanol, or they can buy DDGs, or they buy enough wheat meat to increase the feed consumption. So, I mean, that's going to take a while, and since they're not going to report the list that the Chinese has agreed on, you know, we'll just be kind of waiting for some kind of news before the market reacts to it.
Yeah, that's going to leave everybody wondering, isn't it? Because we're not going to get those details. It's going to be it's an element of confusion in here again.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you listen to analysts, I mean, nobody predicted last January the year that we were going to have. I mean, we had a 840-990 range in March beans, of 370-475 range of corn, 460-570 in wheat. So nobody predicted that at all. So it's going to be kind of hard to predict ranges, but most people say that if we get a rally in this first quarter, it should be sold because farmers are going to plant a record amount of corn acres, 10 million more bean acres, and weather permitting, we're going to have a record supply of grain and oil seeds in 2020.
Right, right. Okay. There was an interesting question that came in on Twitter from @CraigPhelps18. He says, what is the forecast for world demand for ag commodities in the year ahead? Can we get ahead of, or even with the increasing production capacity? When it comes to corn, Steve, globally, we're going to use more for the third consecutive year than what we produced, right?
Yeah, I think what the numbers, people that are willing to stick their neck out and say, okay, this is what the numbers are going to say, okay, you go from a 340 million ton world crop to 367, and you go from trade from 151 to 158. So, you know, you're still looking at that's beans. Let me go to corn. You're looking at a production of, let's see here now.
1 point.
Okay. Production a little over 1.136 billion bushels, right, and trade at 174 million metric tons. So it still gives you a 316 million ton ending stocks number. So, I mean, the numbers, no matter how we look at them, when you go from how much is grown outside the United States, how much trade is outside the United States, even though demand is up every year, the production is up more.
Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. That's a battle that we're going to continue to fight here for the foreseeable future. I mean, guys got to produce as much as they can on a per acre basis with the cost where they're at. So, it's kind of the productivity treadmill that we're on there, isn't it, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. When we come back, I want to let's talk wheat. Let's talk the wheat balance sheet when we come back. We're talking with Steve Freed. He is the VP of Grain Research for ADM Investor Services.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at March natural gas futures today. Unlike the liquid petroleum markets, natural gas prices have declined since mid-November, with the March contract falling from a double top around $2.70 per 10 million BTUs to last Friday's low at $2.0620. In fact, that drop left it only slightly above the August low on the weekly continuation chart, which itself marked a 3-year bottom. The March future had since bounced slightly, only to face stiff resistance at its 10-day moving average. Still, I expect a larger short-term advance due largely to the fact that its associated momentum indicators have been working higher since plunging around Thanksgiving. Don't be surprised by a test of 40-day moving average resistance in the 2.25 area in the near future.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on AgWeb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The education at Commodity Classic is simply unmatched in all of agriculture.
This is for learning. This is an opportunity to meet with people that you don't get to see on a daily basis. There's a lot of really big, important people who know a lot. And I think that's something that you don't get on a daily basis, and that's awesome.
See your future clearly at Commodity Classic in San Antonio, Texas, February 27th through 29th. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down, let this old world...
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We're talking with Steve Freed from ADMIS today. Before we get back to that, Davis, go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Sure thing, Chip. Well, March hard red futures were a nickel higher at 480 even. March soft red futures firmed 2.5 to 552 and 3/4. March corn futures a quarter of a cent lower, 384.5. July steady, 397 and 3/4. March bean futures 3.25 cents higher, 947 and a quarter. July beans firmed 2.75 to 972 and 1/4. February cattle futures 17.5 cents lower, 126.35. March feeders jumped a $1.40 to 146.52.5, and February lean hogs were 20 cents lower at 69.02.5. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, big guy.
All right, thank you very much. We're talking with Steve Freed today. Steve is the VP of Grain Research at ADM Investor Services. Steve, before we get too far away from corn and move on to other markets here, talk to me about the corn for feed estimate, corn for feed use. We understand that it's a moving target, but I don't know if I've seen this target moving more than what it is right now.
Well, I think there's been 300 million bushels that just floats around almost on every stocks report and every S&D report. And, you know, when the USDA figures out this number, they take the supply, they subtract exports, they subtract ethanol, they subtract ending stocks, and what's left is feed and residual. And in years when the crop is big, you have a big residual. In years when the crop is smaller, you have a smaller residual. And USDA has said time and time again, we don't have the funds to go out there and count animals and figure out the rate of gain and how much they're actually being fed. This is just the number that comes out. And so, I mean, you don't want to look at the feed number and residual number as feed because it varies that much.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're gonna take one of the words out of that title, you'd take the feed out of it and just call it residual use. You don't want to call it feed use.
Right. I mean, I don't think any of the smart professors, Missouri, anybody, Iowa State, Nebraska is going to say that that number has anything to do with the actual feed number.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. And we've talked with Seth Meyer, who very recently was the head of the World Board for the feed grains supply and demand, talked about that feed and residual category and the work that it would take to get some kind of a real number in there. Boy, it would be difficult. There's no question about it. Okay, so 1.91, I guess, was the USDA estimate for corn carryover at the end of the 2019-20 marketing year. It doesn't sound like you expect much of a change in that number when we get it released on Friday.
You know, not really. I think that the biggest thing will be the crop number, and I think that's the first thing that people look at, and then I think the USDA will basically adjust from there. But you know, you look at 2021, and you know, what if they plant 95 million acres, and we have a trend yield of 178? All of a sudden, if exports don't go up to 2 billion, you've got to carry out a 2.7 billion.
Yeah. Then it really feels heavy, no doubt. Let's go over to wheat. Got a question for you from at Justin Krell. He says, what is causing nearby Chicago wheat to hold the premium to KC wheat? The spread has been wide for many months, currently at about 75 cents. Then he says, when will KC be back at a premium to Chicago?
Well, first of all, the history of the spread is that the soft wheat market got tight. I mean, there were no deliverable stocks. The commercials wanted the wheat and storage to make the carry. Versus this year's hard wheat quality was not very good. So hard wheat had to compete with corn prices for demand. And then as we got into the December deliveries, there were a couple of large funds that decided they wanted to squeeze the December open interest in Chicago. And so that got us up to that record spread of Chicago over KC. First of all, you know, at when it was at 50 cents over, commercials tried to sell it, and, you know, it didn't work. And so now that we're here, there is a possibility that we could see KC regain a little bit on Chicago for two reasons. Number one, the index roll is going to buy about 14,000 contracts of KC wheat and sell about 6,000 contracts of Chicago wheat. That roll started today and will go through the 13th. So that might help us maybe by 10 cents or so. But then when we start looking at the 20 crop, you know, they're predicting that the hard wheat crop will be around 720 million bushels versus last year's 833. And the soft wheat crop could be 270 versus 239. So at some point, I think they have to come together. The problem about trading spreads in wheat is, what if China comes in and buys some wheat, you know, unexpectedly? Yeah. You know, what are they going to buy? Are they going to buy soft red? Are they going to buy hard red? And so you're kind of sitting there with a very open, risky position if China buys wheat.
Gotcha. Okay. The balance sheet, USDA is at 974, I think it was, in the December supply and demand for carryover. You see much movement from that, Steve?
Well, I think at the end of the day, some people think that exports could be down. And so you could see a little bit higher carryout when it's all said and done. The 974, and then next year is kind of a push. I mean, you got a carry in of a billion bushels, you got a crop of 1.9, your usage is a little over 2050, so you've got a billion bushel carryout again. But the biggest change could be in the hard wheat carryout dropping to 450 from 530, and the soft wheat maybe staying around the 90 million bushel area. So spring wheat should see a bigger crop than last year, a better quality crop, and we could see the carryout in spring wheat go from 276 to 342. So eventually, we might get back to a little bit more normal relationship in the wheat markets.
Okay. That spring wheat crop the for 2020, boy, the guys that I've talked to, Steve, they're really concerned about the conditions that they've got up there, and say that even if they have a normal spring, it's going to mean late plantings for spring wheat, late plantings for corn. Generally, they could see on-time plantings for soybeans. But after what they went through in 2019, all I hear is that they're not going to push that planter as hard as they did in 2019. Are you picking that up?
Yeah, it's a mess up there. I mean, he feels so bad for the North Dakota farmer. And, you know, it's just that at the end of the day, when we look at how we discover wheat prices, the number one thing we do is we look at the Russian price. And then you back everything from there, because the Russians are now the number one exporter of wheat in the world. And so if there's a tender, like today with the Egyptian tender, you know, the Russians were supposed to be on holiday, but they, Ukraine and Romania, sold the 300,000 tons. Egypt and U.S. prices were just too high. Okay. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I can sit here and say, okay, we're not going to do this here in the United States. We're not going to do that. But, you know, when only 12% of the world trade is U.S. exports, it really takes a lot more than what we have to move the needle.
Gotcha. Good point. Okay, soybeans. 475 million bushels is what USDA said we would have for a carryover at the end of the 2019-20 marketing year. What are we thinking here?
Well, I mean, the average guess is that we're going to see a number that's down like 424. And I think that some people think that's a combination of plugging in a lower crop and maybe plugging in a little bit higher export number. But you have some people that think that you know, the export number may actually come down a little bit, and that the crop isn't going to, you know, change that much. So the 475 number may not change dramatically. And then if you have 86 million acres in 2020, even if exports increase to 1925, you have a 670 carryout.
Jeez. Yeah, that's – boy, that – again, it feels heavy. It doesn't. It feels heavy. Last question for you, Steve. Corn soybean mix in 2020 on the acre side. What are we thinking?
Well, I think right now, I mean, it keeps moving around based on what kind of price everybody's going to get. But, you know, we planted 76 million bean acres in 19. The guess is 86 million acres. And we planted almost 90 million acres in 19 with prevent plant. I think before it was happening, the market thought the farmer in 19 was going to plant 98 million acres of corn. Okay. So, guesses around 94, 95 might be conservative when it's all said and done. But again, it's up to Mother Nature.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. I lied to you. One more question. You doing any fishing lately?
No, not too much. It's a lot of golf.
Oh, good.
I wish they changed the name to catching, because fishing wasn't as much fun.
It is more fun when it is catching. There is no doubt about it. But up here right now, it hasn't been that hard of a winter on us. But casting is a little tough right now. There's no question about it. Steve, it's always good to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us, and we'll do it again.
Okay, and I hope everybody has a good new year.
Excellent, excellent. All right, thank you, Steve. That is Steve Freed. Steve is the VP of Grain Research at ADM Investor Services. I've got 3 pages of notes after that conversation. And Davis, I want to pull some of the highlights there. And we kept coming back to a theme in that conversation with Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Did you identify what the theme was? Hey, we'll talk about it next.
Let's talk about it next.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. Yes. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Poncho Votivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Just like the weather, crop insurance keeps changing. And that's why Farm Credit Services of America employs full-time crop insurance officers who understand those changes, deliver the best options to your farm, and the coverage you expect. The weather can be surprising. Your crop insurance shouldn't be. Discover the difference with a no-cost, no-obligation crop insurance plan review from Farm Credit Services of America. Learn more by calling 800-884-FARM.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the 5 highly regarded top producer conferences: Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Davis, the listeners are thinking today, man.
Got their thinking caps on.
Absolutely. At Derek_walk. Hit us with a tweet just right at, I saw it right at the end of the last segment, and so I didn't get a chance to talk to Steve about this, but I'll go ahead and try to handle this.
Okay.
Here's the question. Last summer, many people were comparing price action to that in 93 because of similar weather, but I haven't heard much comparison lately. I was thinking there are still some similarities to 93 price action. Curious of your thoughts. It was the November 1993 crop production report that USDA's survey work finally uncovered the evidence that was out there. And that was that the crop was much smaller than what was estimated before that. So it was a production report that gave us the late year rally in 1993. This year, it wasn't a production report that started the recovery from the lows. Now the recovery started in December, but it was that it was the quarterly grain stocks report for stocks as of September 1. Okay. And I'm not September. Well, September 1. Duh. The end of the end of the marketing year. So it was the grain stocks report that triggered the price recovery that we've seen in soybeans, that we've seen in corn to a large degree. Hmm. Now, what makes that interesting to me is that not only was it suggested that the corn crop, like Steve and I were just talking about, that the 2018 corn crop was overestimated because the stocks came in lower than anticipated. But the USDA also said flat out, listen, we overestimated the bean crop by 116 million bushels. Hmm. So the corn crop, which they don't normally adjust until we get census numbers, but the corn crop estimate has gone unchanged, but it's most likely that they overestimated that 2018 crop,
okay,
by about 300 million bushels. So there's that 300 million number that Steve referenced when we're talking about the corn balance sheet and the corn feed and residual use category, that there's 300 million bushels that just kind of float around out there. They overestimated the 2018 bean crop, and we've got the adjustment out of the way. The 2018 corn crop was also probably overestimated. We've got the adjustment for that in the bigger than trend, or bigger than expected, or bigger than normal, or bigger corn feed and residual use adjustment for the 2018-19 marketing year. Now, with all of that said, some people are wondering out loud if USDA will have learned from the lessons of those 2018 corn and soybean crop estimates that were too big in the January annual production summary. And the reason that they were probably too big is because of the late, long, drawn-out harvest that we had. Sound familiar? This year, it may be even worse because not only is it a long, drawn-out, late harvest, it is also the harvest of a crop that is... It's not the quality that we had in 2018. There's just no question about it. And it's not because of late season moisture. It's because of the, you know, trying to grow 110-day corn in 90 days. It's stuff like that. So there's that wondering that are they going to learn from the lessons of 2018 and maybe, just maybe, put a little bit stronger adjustment factor on the survey work that they generate and release on Friday.
Yeah.
So, Davis, if you're wondering why I was scrambling before the show started, it's because I was having a long conversation about exactly that. And then we get this Derek Walk tweeting at us about the 93 market and is there any comparisons. Now, the 93 continued to strengthen into the spring of 94. A lot of that was driven by a realization that, doggone it, we just don't have as much crop around as what we thought we were going to. So then the market kind of had to kick it in the butt and try to ration that usage as quickly as it could. This year, number one, we don't know that yet. Because we could get an adjustment to the crop in Friday's reports. By the way, you and I will be on the show, just you and me, Davis, on Friday, so that we've got plenty of time to answer questions, to go over the details of those reports and everything. So it'll just be you and me on Friday with the USDA reports. But if that crop does come in smaller, those crops do come in smaller, that may be the catalyst to keep this thing going into the early part of 2020. But like Steve went back to it a few times when he said it's all about how much we really have left over. How much we really have left over. Even if it is 1.9 billion bushels or down to 1.7, that's still more than enough to get us through. 475, if it drops down to 425, what's that mean for the end of the next marketing year with an increase in bean acres, an increase in corn acres? Good gosh, he threw a 2.7 billion bushel out for corn and something around a 650, 675 on soybeans. So it's the we're not going to have time for your tweets.
Yeah, no.
It's the anticipation that the supply continues to bulge into the next marketing year is one of the reasons that it's going to be tough to build and maintain that upside momentum going forward. All right?
All right.
Wow. That took a little longer to explain than what I thought it would, but
no, it's fine.
We got
it was
there. All right.
I loved it.
Thank you so much, Davis. And for Joe Stackler, thank you for listening today. Tomorrow morning, we've got North Dakota Ag Commissioner Doug Goring, and tomorrow afternoon, Arlen Suderman.
The sounds of success vary from person to person. Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. Along with 43 new varieties this year, Credenz soybeans come with agronomic expertise from BASF. That means expert advisors who bring local insights on seed selection, management decisions, and crop protection options. Knowing the kind of success you're shooting for?
That's smart. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
It doesn't matter what you grow or how many acres you farm. Commodity Classic will help you become an even better farmer.
You don't have to be a big farmer to come here. You know, I could tell you a 1,000, 1,500 acre grower or a 500 acre grower is going to value these things, and he's going to do a lot better job when he leaves here. You know, it's going to make him more conscious of what's going on his farm than ever before.
Commodity Classic, February 27th through 29th in San Antonio. Visit CommodityClassic.com.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Saltro fungicide seed treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.